From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest, Andrew Mack, he's the founder of California-based Olo. It's a modern-day cannabis company. Olo has applied biochemistry and neuroscience to design four products: Active, Social, Focus, and Chill. Andrew Mack, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So how did you start this company? Or maybe we'll back up a little bit from there. You could have been a doctor. You could have been a plumber. You went to Harvard. How'd you get in the cannabis business? How did you decide to get in there?
I probably wish I had. I studied economics, and in the process of getting my degree, I wrote a thesis and kind of stumbled into this topic when I found some interesting data that had been collected back in 2013 and 14 on the legal cannabis industry. It was then all medicinal, but I started looking at this data in the process of writing a thesis, and it became, it was just an incredible eye-opening experience, realizing how much cannabis could help people and how much of an opportunity there was.
Yeah. And as you know, it's not legal in the great state of Utah, and any products that are grown in California cannot be exported to other states, even if it were legal in that state. But our interest on this program is to, of course, shine a light on science, and it looks like you have something pretty interesting. So we want to talk to you about the scientific process. But our interest is, because we are medicinal or will be medicinal in this state, if there are things that you are doing to customize these products that might be able to give relief to people who are suffering from pain for medicinal reasons, for medical reasons. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think that there are people across the country who have found that there can be significant relief provided by consumption of cannabis for various kinds of symptoms. You see people using it for joint pain and localized pain. You see people who are using it for anxiety and for many other types of conditions. In particular, what you want to look at is how the active ingredients are being delivered, and to create a controlled release of the active that will optimally relieve the symptoms that people are using this product for.
Andrew, before we go any further, can we just back up and talk about the varying degrees of legalization amongst our 50 states? If you go on Wikipedia, it looks like only about four or five states have completely still prohibited use of any kind. But I've read varying things. So where are we now in terms of how many states have completely decriminalized, how many states it's legal for recreational use, and how many states like Utah where medical use has been, is on the docket?
So I think that there are, the latest count is somewhere in the mid-30s. I'm not entirely sure what the number is, but there's something around 35 states that have either decriminalized or allowed for medicinal use. There are many different kinds of medicinal use states. There are some states, such as the one that I'm in right now, which is New York, where it's pretty difficult to get medicinal cannabis. Florida's the same way, but it is legal, and there is some industry there. And then there are states like Michigan, for instance, where you can go to any doctor, and any doctor can write you a recommendation for medicinal cannabis, and there are hundreds of dispensaries, and it's more available compared to the other states that I named. And then obviously there's California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, where it's completely legal, where anybody over 21 can go into a dispensary and make a purchase.
Okay. And in 2018, some $10.4 billion were invested in the cannabis, in the legal cannabis industry, which is huge, which is no doubt part of the opportunity that you saw. And I believe you started your business, you first launched, was it in 2017 or the beginning of 2018?
Well, we spent 2.5 years doing R&D before launching a product at the end of 2018, so last November.
Okay. And so when we're looking at your, for example, sublingual strips is kind of what Olo's all about. Let's translate that into how someone who's suffering from, say, epileptic seizures here in Utah, what kind of hope and promise that provides, given that this is an industry that hasn't been very regulated, and I think what you're giving is the promise of real scientific refinement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So the sublingual strip, for someone who can't picture it, is it looks a lot like one of those breath strips that you put on your tongue, except when it has cannabis in it, you put it under your tongue. And the reason for doing that and the way that our product has been engineered is to put the active ingredients, THC, CBD, other cannabinoids and compounds off the plant, the cannabis plant, into your bloodstream efficiently and quickly without having to go into the stomach, where the digestive processes adversely affect the absorption of those compounds.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Andrew Mack. He's the founder of California-based Olo, a modern-day cannabis company. So, Andrew, just to be clear, we're not talking about different strains of cannabis. We're talking about using biochemistry and neuroscience and all to define specific, not strains, but variants of specific strains. Can you tell us how that works?
Yeah. So as you mentioned in your introduction, Olo comes in four different experiences: active, focused, social, and chill. The way that we defined those using a set of empirical qualifications that come out of other scientific research. And we sought to identify specific combinations of the two active, two classes of active compounds on the cannabis plant, which are cannabinoids and terpenes. And so by altering the ratios of the cannabinoids and terpenes in the product and ensuring that they're delivered consistently and in a certain time frame into the bloodstream, we can change the way that the product affects people.
Okay, so I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, there may be 30 cannabinoids that come out of cannabis, including THC. The other 29 or so are not illegal substances, or are not illegal substances in Utah.
They are, but they're non-psychoactive, I think you mean.
Okay, well, can you distinguish that for us?
Yeah, so yeah, there are 30, there may be more than 30 cannabinoids, some of which are produced naturally by the body, incidentally, but the ones that are, there are not terribly many that are produced naturally by the cannabis plant itself, but there is a system in the human body that is designed specifically to receive these compounds. It's a family of compounds that all have a similar chemical structure, but there are many differences And the promise of many of these minor cannabinoids is very much unexplored and is an area where additional research is very promising and going to be very helpful.
And then, is that an area that you are doing research in?
I think it's an area that we will do research in. It isn't right now, but it's part of our plan. And what's most promising is that either synthetically or naturally, some of these these minor cannabinoids are becoming commercially available. So there's a lot of promise being shown there. It's definitely somewhere that we're looking into.
So here in Utah, if you go into your average grocery store, it seems these days, there's some cannabinoid CBD product that is being offered. And, you know, you can go into a bar and get a little shot of it in your drink or in your smoothie if you go to a smoothie shop. It's kind of crazy. It's very trendy. And I would imagine that this trend is going to hit the market and then it's going to kind of peter out in some way. What do you see for that? And does it open the gate really for more acceptance overall?
It probably does. I actually do tend to agree with you. CBD drops on top of cocktails is probably a fad. I think that it's definitely bringing a more mainstream exposure to these compounds. I'd point out that when you go into the CBD that you see in your grocery store comes from hemp and not from cannabis. They're related plants, but it is different. There are different standards, and hemp is. Has been made legal last year as part of the Farm Bill. I think that the way that it's being presented now, the kind of the fatty nature of it, is not showing the most effective use of these compounds, and that formulated with other cannabinoids and in more therapeutic delivery systems, they're likely to be more effective than if they're just, as you said, put on top of a drink or a coffee or whatever it is.
Andrew, I'd like to talk to you about business models. Currently, you have these strips that you put under your tongue for the four products: Active, Social, Focus, and Chill. And those products can only be consumed in California, and that's your principal business right now. As some of these other states come online, that for an example, in Utah, there will be a number of companies that will be providing products for medicinal reasons, and they want to distinguish themselves from the other providers. And your technology or your way of thinking and working might offer them an advantage. Have you considered providing your technical skills, your research skills, to some of these outside states as they try to differentiate their products?
Yes, absolutely. There are other states where we would consider licensing our technology. Obviously, what's most important to me in this business is the quality control issues. There's still, even with the regulation that is in place in California, there still are issues of batch to batch inconsistency, and it's becoming less of an issue. But keeping control on the quality of our product is very important to me. So.
Okay.
But I'm absolutely considering how we license our technology and across state lines.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So I believe, but I don't want to presume, but I believe that the names of your four products are self-explanatory. But why don't you take us through each of the four and the experience that the user would get in the sort of thing they're doing? Like, I would believe active would be like snowshoeing or skiing or hiking, but I don't want to presume anything. Tell us about your products and about the people that would use them for what.
Well, when I was trying to understand the data that I had found from that I wrote my thesis on, I came to understand that cannabis was being used by different people in under different circumstances, and that they were able to identify specific strains which they would use in conjunction with, say, watching a movie or going on a hike or skiing, or perhaps before having to do a tedious housework. And we looked at how cannabis fit into people's lives and developed these four experiences, active being an experience that's more conducive to outdoor activity, there are a lot of people who use cannabis in conjunction with exercise, chill being more of a sedative experience, focus being one that you would want in conjunction if you were going to be doing something tedious around your house, and social obviously being self-explanatory.
Andrew, I'm trying to formulate a question around this, but as I hear you talking about these psychosocial sorts of changes to us as we go through our day, I'm hung up on, and perhaps it's my age, perhaps it's, you know, my come from, where you see some people ingesting, smoking, whatever, using sublingual strips, for example, who will then sit on the couch and lead a very unproductive, half of a day that are just literally comatose by the use of THC. And then you see others that can use it all day long, and it provides this really productive, very positive thing. And I guess I'm just hung up on where we go forward with this. And I think it's probably something that you face a lot with, you know, people who have experimented around with marijuana throughout their past, and it's just not a very positive experience. So how do you move forward in, I suppose, trying to appeal to the masses?
It's a good question. I know exactly what you you're talking about. I guess for some people, cannabis is an unproductive, THC in particular, is an unproductive substance. But there should, it's not that far off from people who are bad drunks or bad, who shouldn't consume alcohol. It's something that you should moderate in your life and use in the right circumstances. And in the case of our products, we've tried to develop products that fit in with people's lives, not ones that are going to produce a day of being comatose. But I think it's down to the individual to manage his or her productivity. It's no different than alcohol.
Exactly. At the same time, I was coming up with my question for why I feel somewhat in opposition to the mass legalization I was thinking the same thing. Well, we use Ritalin for those with ADHD, and that's acceptable. And as you say, alcohol is legal. It's just how you apply it. We use many different, you know, we use painkillers, and they're legal. So it's, wow, it's just a mindset, and it's a little bit of a switch of a mindset, and I just find that really interesting. But let me get to another question about,
I would add something to that, actually.
Yeah,
I've had this conversation many times, and cannabis use has been widespread in this country for a long time. It's not new. And what the legal industry has brought to cannabis is orders of magnitude greater control for the consumer. People now know what's in their cannabis. They know where it came from. It's been certified not to have dangerous chemicals and pesticides by a state lab. And that has to be a better equilibrium than having potentially having an illegal industry or where there could be cross-border trafficking, and then the end consumer really has no idea what they're getting.
And that's an excellent point, because if you look at the pesticides, if you look at the dosing, if it's 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams, people have a sense of what is good for them, and you have dosing which is very accurate, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, Andrew, how long have you been shipping Active, Social, Focus, and Chill?
So Olo has been in the market since November of last year. We're in dispensaries across the state of California now, but the first sale was a little more than a year ago.
And how are things going? How's the product doing?
Things are going well. The product is doing well. I think that the most important thing for us right now most people don't know that such a thing as sublingual strips exist or what the benefits are compared with perhaps a cannabis gummy bear.
Sure.
Even people who are in the cannabis industry probably don't. There's some people who don't know at all, and so it's our goal to try and increase the awareness around why this is a healthy alternative to inhalation of one sort or another.
Sure, and I'm curious, as you look at the four products since November, how is the percentage of purchases broken down between Active, Social, Focus, and Chill?
It varies by region, but I think it's more or less even. I would add we do sell a product that contains all four experiences in one box, and that is our best selling product.
Andrew, I'm wondering, because, you know, the whole West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington are very open and legal, why can't you pass it from California to those states? Why can it not be shipped across borders?
That's a good question. The way that the industry exists right now is under a kind of informal agreement between the federal government and the state. The federal government still considers cannabis to be a Schedule I substance alongside heroin, but the Justice Department has essentially signaled that they're not going to use their resources to enforce the Controlled Substances Act in states that have set up robust regulatory systems and where companies are acting in compliance with those systems. So a company like mine, for instance, is licensed by the state of California. We are compliant with their laws, and so they're not going to the federal law enforcement is not one of my top concerns. However, if I were to move the product from Oregon into Oregon or into Arizona, even though they're contiguous, that would be cross-border. They would consider that as cross-border trade, and then that would make me subject to federal enforcement.
Okay. We're just about out of time, but I have a question that's been nagging me a bit. As soon as you start applying words like technology and biochemistry to your product, this product that has been used for centuries in its natural form, we start to think about whether or not we want to sign up for taking something natural and applying technology to it. We're opposed to GMOs. Where do you fall in that disruption of the natural world?
I'm not on the same side. I'm pro GMO. I think that the application of technology to nature actually has real benefits. Our product is a natural product. All the ingredients in it are natural. We've just used technology in order to make it work better.
Andrew Mack, he's the founder of California-based Olo, a cannabis company. They've applied biochemistry and neuroscience to design four products, Active, Social, Focus, and Chill, in the state of California. Andrew, we wish you continued success with your company, and I'm really fascinated by the prospects of being able to, have you license outside of the state, because on the medical side, there's just a lot of people that are suffering, and we need to, get better products to them to help them. Opioids obviously aren't the answer, and so I'm excited about that. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute. We'll be right back.